Well, again, good morning. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me over to Hebrews. It is our scripture reading for this morning, Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 7. And that's where we're going to be spending just a little bit of time. As we go through the last sermon on our elder selection sermon series, and I got some comments about my introduction to last week's sermon, where I said, you know, next week wear your steel toe boots because I'm going to be stepping on toes. And what I hope that everyone has been really worried all week, because I wanted to over promise on that and then kind of under deliver. So maybe when you leave this morning, you won't think, oh, that wasn't so bad. You were thinking, oh, this is going to be bad, this is going to hurt. And then when you get here, and you realize that it's not going to be maybe as bad as you thought it was. But this morning we're going to talk about our congregational response. We're going to talk about what it looks like for us to follow the leader, for us to be a group of people that, you know, if we're going to spend all this time considering who it is that God wants. Who it is that God wants to lead us? What kind of men are we looking for? What kind of individual does God specifically ordain to be the shepherds of His people? Well, we spend a lot of time really poring over that and studying that. But how much time do we spend individually poring over and studying over what is my response to the men that God has put in leadership over me? Because that is as important to the success of God's people, to the success of God's kingdom, to the success of His body and His church here on this earth, is how do we respond to those men? If they're going to lead us, how do we follow? I think that's a fair question. I really do. If you think back, the only reason that they're there is because of the issues that we have, the strife and the problems. Remember back in Acts, in the very beginning of all this, in Acts chapter 6, where there's problems, there's not being food, not being fed to this one, and they're not being served, and there's issues, and they come to the apostles, and they say, hey, we've got problems in the body. And he says, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to designate the leadership so that these problems are taken care of, and we will be about the business of prayer and ministry of the word. He's assuming that those who are following well. And so if you look on the back of your order of worship. And this week I put the outline on there, but in just my overwhelmed impression of the color bulletin and how wonderful it looks, I forgot to put the blanks in there. So there's no secret as to what I'm going to say, you know, and you don't really have to follow along. I've given you the answers already. So as we talk about our congregational response, obviously number one in our congregational response to the leaders is we have to allow leaders to lead. We've got to allow the men that we place. Remember this, they're called shepherds. They're you know, the overwhelming description of the job that they are doing is shepherding. Remember from the very beginning, this is out front living. These are men who are in front, out living the life and shepherding. Guess what the sheep do? All together now, the sheep, they follow. The sheep don't lead. The sheep aren't out in front. The sheep really aren't even to the side. The sheep are following these guys. Now, that's why the qualities and the personalities of these men and the qualifications and the abilities and the righteousness, the Spirit of God and the Christ in them, that's why it's so important, because we're following them and they got to be following Christ. But if they're following Christ, we've got to be behind them. We've got to allow leaders to lead. What does he say in Hebrews chapter 13? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. He goes on later in that same chapter in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. I'm just going to say this. We don't do that well. We don't submit to anybody well. We really don't. Not as a, not as individuals, not as a country. I mean, we're not known as being real submissive as a people, are we? I mean, that's going to be counter-cultural for us. It's going to go against everything that we've ever been taught. You got to stand up for your rights. You got to be heard. You got to be there. And there is a lot of times in the body of Christ where we don't have to be heard, where we got to listen, and we've got to go in a, we've got to listen and do, and go in the direction that our leaders are leading. Because here's the reality of it: if we're all pulling on our own ropes, we're going to get less done. But if we're all pulling in the same direction, you know, and there's many times when I think that's a good direction over there, and I want to pull in that direction. And the shepherds say, well, we appreciate your right to think that, but this is the direction that we're going. And it's important for us to listen and start pulling on that same rope. Because when we are unified, we're all going the same direction. When we are submissive to these men who we believe God has ordained as leaders, and the kingdom will grow, and the response will be unbelievable. The first thing that we got to realize is we got to be responsible. To allow leaders to lead and pulling on the same rope, being responsible, is that back in Acts chapter 6, when the apostles said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to put men over in charge of waiting on tables. We're going to be about prayer and the ministry of the word. Guess what? They had to be able to assume that those other people were doing, waiting on tables. When they said, hey, guys, you serve, we're going to minister and pray, they got to minister and pray. And guess what else has to happen? Serving. And servants work. And you have to be responsible. When shepherds say, this is what we've got to get done, we have got to be a kind of people that get that sort of thing done. They've got to be able to depend upon us. This is specifically me preaching to our ministry leaders. Ministry leaders have got to lead their ministries, have got to do, they got to wait on the table that they have been appointed. As my dad would say, Shane, you need to golf your ball. And when golfing my ball is me, I don't need to worry about his ball. I don't need to worry about what anyone else on the course is doing, unless their ball's about to hit me, you know, but that rarely happens. But you got to golf your ball. And that means taking care of what is in front of you to do. And so often, in being irresponsible, we get so distracted on, what's that ministry doing? You know what, Howard? What you need to be doing with your ministry is instead of Shane over here picking out his club and making sure his, you know, and checking out his lie and what's in front of him and golfing my own deal. We got to be responsible. We've got to be a people when we're called upon to serve. We have to be. Now write this down. This is not on the under be responsible. We need to be as diligent as we expect them to be. Would you appreciate it if you came to find out that at no time during the year that your shepherds had prayed for you? Would that be a dereliction of their duty? If they never prayed for you, what happens if we never engage in the work that is to be done in the kingdom? See, follow servers have to serve. We have to be as diligent as we expect them to be. In allowing leaders to lead, we also have to be approachable. We have got to, and I say this a lot, you know, it's just us in here. And one of the things that I loved this morning as I look out, we have a lot of visitors with us this morning, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Sometimes I get real informal and just talk to us like we all know each other, because we do. And so you guys are all on the inside now. And I'll say this, it's just us in here. We got to stop. We can't be so sensitive. We got to be approachable. If I'm not doing a good, and I'll use this as an example, because this is, this happens. And if I'm not doing a good job, guess what happens? People tell me. I hope that's not a surprise to some of you, but because y'all have told me. But people tell me when they don't think I'm doing such a great job. And you know what? I listen to them. And it hurts my feelings sometimes. But it's making me better at being a preacher. And it's making me better at being a minister. And it's making me better at being a child of God. And you know what? I got two choices. I can get my feelings hurt and stomp off and just take my ball and go home. Or I can be approachable and allow them to help God change me. As a congregation, we've got to be approachable. Too many times the shepherds sit wringing their hands, and how are we going to tell this individual that it would be better if they did this job better, if they did this job at all? Just think, because you know what's going to happen is they're going to get mad and they're going to whatever. We've got to be approachable. We've got to be less thin-skinned and more about changing into what God wants us to be. Remember the qualities of the shepherd when it says that he must manage his family well? Well, managing a family, parenting is all about accountability. It's all about holding your children accountable to the qualities of God that we want them to have, about doing the right thing. Well, you can't hold children accountable unless you approach them and tell them what they're doing right or wrong. That's a quality that if we're going to look at their family and say, oh, how are their kids? Well, then we got to expect that they're going to treat us a whole lot that way and say, you know what? This needs to be different. This needs to be better. We need to be able to be held accountable. It's in the qualities. It's in the list that we hold them to, and we have to allow them to operate and to function within those qualities. Any correction is for our growth. Isn't that what Paul told the Corinthians when he said, I'm sorry if what I said to you caused you pain. But it was so that it would, any pain that I caused you was so that it would lead to repentance, so that you could be more and more like Christ. I don't want to hurt you, but if I did, it was for your own good. I struggled with that, I'll be honest with you. Until a good friend of mine, Jerome Williams, told me, he said, Shane, you're the one who gets better. You're the one who does a better job. You know, he was, and Jerome is, he's not ashamed to admit, as a recovering alcoholic, when the church did an intervention for him, and he walks into his own office as the worship leader of one of the largest churches of Christ in this nation, he walks into his own office, and there they are to intervene in his life and to tell him that he needs to live better, and it made him mad. But you know what he'll tell you now? Now that God has changed his life and God used those people to help him be better, he said, man, I will invite them to my party and I'll put their name on my cake. I'll put their name on my cake. Because God used them to make me better. We got to allow leaders to lead. We also have to be good followers. And now that's just not allowing leaders to lead. Being good followers means that their qualities are our goals. Remember in 1 Timothy. Let's find 1 Timothy. Did y'all move it? No. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've been going through it. And man, we're eyeballing them shepherds. And we're eyeballing the ones who may, that we're thinking, do they stack up? Every one of those qualities listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 are goals for our lives. They really are. You can find every one of those as a general statement for anyone in the body of Christ. The standard that we are so good at holding others to honestly is the one that we should all be striving for, is the one that we should all be diligently allowing God to transform us into. And that leads us to, if we're going to be good followers, we have to be about some self-evaluation. Where does change need to take place? Where does the scalpel of God need to enter into our lives and to carve away parts of us that do not look anything like Christ? Self-evaluation is all about what Paul was telling the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4:14 through 17. And he says, I don't write these things. Again, he said, I don't write this to shame you. I'm not just trying to hurt you or lord over you for the sake of being the leader. What I'm telling you is to imitate me, to follow me as I follow Christ. And he said, I'm sending Timothy to you, and he is going to be a model, because you know that the gospel that we preach, we also live before you. So here is an example. Be like this guy, because he is trying to live just like Christ. When we leave here today, the challenge is to take 1 Timothy chapter 3 and say, I want a leader above reproach. Because I want to be above reproach. I want to be faithful and loyal. I want to be able to control myself instead of allowing everything outside of me to control. I want to be spirit-led. I want to be respectable. I want to be hospitable. You know, think about this. When is the last time I had someone in my home? When I said, you know, when I was hospitable to people, when I looked and I saw someone outside the body of Christ and I invited them into my life, we're going to hold the elders to this microscope. When are we hospitable? Am I able to teach? Am I in the Word enough to, am I meditating? Am I praying so that I can convey the deep truths about God to others? Am I not given to drunkenness and violent? And am I gentle? Do I have the fruits of the Spirit in me? A lover of money? Am I greedy? You know, what is my family? Do I have the courage and the respect to hold my children and my family accountable to the standard that God has set before us? Where does change need to take place? If we're going to look for men to lead us, then we have to be good followers, willing to allow God to change us into the image and likeness of His Son. We have to be willing to follow men as they follow Christ. Are they perfect? No. Do we blindly follow? Absolutely not. But we have to know when it is our selfishness that's causing us to be a problem. And he also says, look, don't make your leaders' leadership a burden to them. You know how our leaders' leadership is a burden to them? When they're trying to lead and nobody's following. When the servers aren't serving. When the workers aren't working. When everyone is concerned about their own ideas and agendas, when no one's approachable, and that's so dysfunctional. And you want to read about dysfunctional churches, go to Revelation and read about some. I got 7 dysfunctional churches in there. Read between the lines in the book of Corinthians and find out what's going on there. He wants us to be functional. So this morning, our congregational response are 2 things. Allow them to lead. The current leaders and the leaders to come. And be good followers. Every aspect, hear this, every aspect of life in the church has to do with changing us individually and collectively into the mirror image of Christ here on earth. Every bit of it. From being a leader to following a leader. So when we leave here today, will we allow God to change each one of us, to scrutinize each one of us, to look into the lives of each one of us, and make us look more like Christ? We can leave here worried about and concerned with and delving into the lives of potential leaders. And that's important.
Because we will be following them. Or will we? Will we be good followers?
This morning, as we sing the invitation song, the invitation is this, is to not leave this sermon, to not leave this challenge here in this building, and to not leave this process with a few chosen men, but to take it home and to own it and to allow this process not only to shine light on the leadership, but also to shine God's discriminating light upon each one of us. Would you join me as together we stand and as we sing?